And our scripture text this morning is taken from the book of Psalms. Psalm 48, verse 14, reads this way. For this is God, our God forever and ever. He will be our guide, even to death. Even to death, some would render that forever, which carries the same meaning. Our text is the culmination of the praises of the sons of Korah. Psalm 48 is one of the songs of praise, psalms of praise. And there are two very evident and basic applications that we remind ourselves of this morning. First, God is always our God. For this is God, our God, forever and ever. Secondly, God is always our guide. He will be our guide even to death. God is always our God and always our guide. Now, these applications, strictly speaking, are for believers only. If you're not a believer, if you have not trusted Christ for your salvation, then God is neither your God nor your guide. In fact, you are still dead in your sins. But I pray that after hearing of the God who daily loads us with benefits, you're ready to accept Him into your heart, mind, and soul. And so I pray that for you, the Holy Spirit does His work this morning. God is always our God. He is not fickle. He is unchangeable. He Himself said, "For I am the Lord, I do not change." The Lord speaking through the prophet Isaiah says this, "Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you." Now these words were spoken to the nation of Israel in the context of Isaiah 49, but they can surely be applied to you and I this morning. God's personal care, His personal interest, indeed His personal love for you is such that the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Notice the illustration for a mother to forget her baby is almost unthinkable. We read that and we're like, well, how can a mother do such a thing? Yet we turn on Channel 10 News or whatever channel you watch, and you see that this kind of thing actually happens. People get trapped in the depths of their depravity, the depths of their addictions, the depths of their evil obsessions, or whatever it is that they get stuck in, that mothers in these times even forget to have compassion on the child of their womb. Almost unthinkable, but yet it can happen. God, however, is not subject to that same kind of thing. God is not subject to sin. He is not subject to illness, mental illness, spiritual or otherwise. God is perfectly God. He is perfectly holy. And He is perfectly there God is always God. For this is God, our God, forever and ever. Behold the testimony of Jesus Christ. When Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them till the end. Surely he was both the God and the guide of the disciples. But you say this is written of the 12, or of the 70, or of those who responded to his ministry while he was here on earth. And that may be true in direct context. But our God did not stop at this. This is what Jesus says in John chapter 13. But if you want to find comfort in the fact that God has left his abiding peace and that he has promised the very same things that he promised to his disciples while he was on earth, to you and I, all you need to do is read further. John chapter 14 through 17 are some of the most comforting chapters, at least for me, in the Holy Writ, with regard to God's abiding presence. Jesus says, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Now Christ will come again, to be sure. Our God has not and never will hang us out to dry. Men and women will do this from time to time. But our God, and if he be your God will never leave you nor forsake you. God the Holy Spirit has been sent into the world by the Father to testify that these things be true, to testify of Jesus Christ, and to point us to God the Son. Just as God the Son came into the world to point us to our Heavenly Father, to point the way out, to give us directions, as it were, as to how we might make our salvation sure, God the Holy Spirit has come into the world to point us to the object of our faith, to He who paid it all at the cross, Jesus the Christ, God the Son. The Holy Spirit has been sent as a guarantee of our eternal inheritance, to live in our hearts, and to testify of God the Son. Have you understood the truth that God is always our God? We sang it. I have quoted this scripture, and I will say it again. It is found 3 times in the Word of God, in Deuteronomy, in Joshua, and again in the book of Hebrews. So we're on good ground repeating it threefold. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That doesn't depend on you and I. If it did, our situation would be absolutely hopeless. If our salvation depended on us, none of us would be saved. We see where our behavior and our trust in ourselves and in humanity will take us. Thank God that it depends on Him. We're not that powerful, and we're not in control, but God is both powerful and in control, and He is always there. For this is God, our God, forever and ever. God is always God. For this is God, our God, forever and ever. He will be our guide even to death. God is always our God, and God is always our guide, even to death. God is our guide in our decisions, if we allow Him to give His input. If we don't ask Him, if we don't seek His will through His objective truth, through His objective wisdom, as He has revealed in His Word, then we will not be able to draw upon it, then will we? God is our guide in our decisions if we allow Him to give His input. He has given us principles for decision making in His Word. All too often, however, our pride, our self, stands in His way. The psalmist writes, "The humble He guides in justice, and the humble He teaches His way." Why the humble? Because to talk to a person who is filled with pride is like talking to a wall. The humble He guides in justice. The humble He teaches His way. You want to be taught God's way? You want to receive guidance from the Lord? Then cast your pride aside. Get down on your knees and ask the Lord to show you. Ask the Lord to guide you. He will be our guide, even to death. God is our guide, even in the midst of uncertainties. We don't always know where He is leading us in life, but He can be trusted to lead us and to go with us. Remember Abraham. Abraham was told that God would lead him to a land that He would show him. And we're informed by the writer of Hebrews that he didn't even know what land he was going to. It was through exercising faith that Abraham realized the blessing. So let us learn to accept the past, to move forward from the past. We can't change it, we can't fix it, but we can come to terms with it. To seek the Lord in the present. He will be our guide even to death. So why not seek Him now? Why wait another minute? Why spend another minute walking in darkness when we can walk in light? Behold, the way is set before you. Will you go? So let us learn to accept the past, seek the Lord in the present, and to trust God with the future. He will be our guide, present tense, even to death, with results that continue into the future. Why not trust Him now? And why not trust Him with our future, even our eternal future? Because God is our guide, because God is always our guide, we can find peace and rest. Christ came to give light to those who sit in darkness, in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Friend, do you know the peace that comes with a constant awareness of the presence and guidance of God? Maybe you've accepted the Lord's gracious offer of salvation, and so God is always your God. But maybe you haven't let Him be your guide. He goes before you, and you kind of like do one of these to kind of nudge Him out of the way so you can go by and do what you want to do. Christian, do not be slack in prayer. In Bible reading, in attendance to the public worship, unbeliever, unsure, skeptic in our midst or in my hearing, fence sitter, all the same. All those things will lead you to the same place. One is no better than the other. Some may give you cause for pride more than the next, but they'll all take you to the same place. To you I said at the beginning that God is neither your God nor your guide. And I challenge you to consider these things. I pray that the Holy Spirit has illuminated your heart this morning. And I ask you to listen carefully to these words that Jesus Himself spoke and to settle accounts with the Lord today, even this morning. No one has ascended to heaven, but He who came down from heaven. That is the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life, or eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. That's why we don't come to Christ. Because we like our sin too much. We're dead in our sins because of our pride. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. Heavenly Father, add your blessing to these words, for therein lies the power of God unto salvation. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.